Jesus.
Hallelujah.
can stand against. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand?
Battle you won. I am who you are. Yeah. hi to someone you might not know, maybe you do know, and you can find your seat.
Hey everyone, we're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in person or online, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at harvest time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using our harvest time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, see us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church. Have a great week.
What's up, guys? It's Jake. I'm here to tell you about our one big foam party, Back to School Bash. That's right. We're going to start the day off with some 3v3 basketball. There's going to be a competition. And then to end the night with some Brazilian barbecue. Then, we're gonna, the more friends you bring, the more raffle tickets you get. How awesome is that? The more raffle tickets you have, the better chance you have to get cooler prizes. So invite your friends, family, city, state, town, village, anyone you can think of. We want them here, and we want you guys here, okay? Make sure not to miss it, Wednesday, September 14th at 6:45 p.m. I'm out.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. It is good to be together in the Lord's presence. Amen. And we want to thank our worship team for doing a great job leading us into the Lord's presence today. Amen. We also want to welcome everybody who's worshiping with us online this morning. If you're watching and worshiping together with us on YouTube, we're so glad that you're here with us. We're one family united in the Lord. And if you are worshiping with us online, please do us a favor, subscribe, make sure you get notified whenever we post a video, whenever we go live. Want to let you know this morning, if you have little ones with you and you're not sure they'll be able to sit all the way through the service, we do have great nursery care available to you, and nursery care is available for infants and toddlers in all of our services. The ushers are going to be coming to wait on us for our giving in just a few moments, and we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with all of your giving. Thank you for honoring the Lord with your tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of what God has entrusted to us. You know, concerning the tithe, it's the only place in Scripture where we find the Lord challenging us to put him to the test. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Test me in this, God says. See if I won't open up for you the windows of heaven. He says, I'll pour out such a blessing upon you that there won't be room enough to contain it. And it goes on, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's a good promise. Amen. We also want to thank you for faithfully supporting the work of missions. Harvest Time supports 60 or more different missions works of various kinds, both here in the U.S. and all around the world. In your program this morning, there's an envelope that you can use to give in a few different ways. You can give by check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can give using a debit card or a credit card. And if you're giving that way, please make sure that you provide us with all of your information. If you're giving cash today and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts, again, please do make sure that we've got your info there. Very simple, very secure to give online. You can give online anytime. Just use our Realm app. You can also give through our website at htchurch.com. When you go to the website, there's a giving link right on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift, or you can actually set up regular automatic giving, and lots of people are choosing to give that way these days. Very easy to do that. Some people like to give by text, and the information on how to do that is in your program and on the screens as well. Just before the ushers come to wait on us, want to remind you of a couple of things. Tomorrow is Labor Day, of course, and the church offices are going to be closed. Next Sunday, after each of our services, we are going to be having a Life Group Expo downstairs. New Life Groups for the fall are launching next Sunday, and you can explore all the Life Groups that we're going to be offering at the Expo. It's going to be a great time. You know, Life Groups are a wonderful way for us to grow in our faith and also to meet new friends in the Lord's family. This fall, we've got a number of Bible study groups. We have groups for men. We have groups for women. We've got groups for seniors. We've got all kinds of different interest groups, and groups meet on various days throughout the week, and not only here at the church, but in lots of different places. There are some that are online, and you can sign up now for groups on the Realm app. You can also go to the website. On the top of the homepage of the website, there's a link that says Life Groups. And when you go there, it'll take you to a special page on our site where you can search for groups by the day of the week, search for who the groups are targeting, and find a group that's right for you. And then just after that, a couple of Wednesdays from now, on Wednesday the 14th, Family Life Night is going to resume for the fall. All of our regular kids and teens programs will be up and running that evening. We've got some new groups for adults beginning as well this fall. Giancarlo Ochoa is leading HT Discover. Discover is for folks who are interested in becoming a member of our HTC family and learning about their spiritual gifts and finding out how they can serve and how they can grow. I'm going to be teaching a Bible study called Encountering Jesus. And this is a course that looks at how Jesus' first and second comings were predicted by the prophets. It'll be a great way to go deeper, learn the Word of God, learn more about Jesus, and strengthen your faith also. Lorraine Chicapuash is going to be leading a Bible study for ladies on Wednesday evenings. And also on Wednesday, Javier Barantes and Kevin O'Brien are continuing the Bible study for men. Lots of great courses and groups available. Check them out online, as I said. Come to the expo next Sunday. You can chat with the various group leaders, kind of get the flavor of each group. And we're going to be holding that expo after each one of our services next Sunday. Going to ask the ushers to come and prepare to wait on us now for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless us and bless the seed that we're about to sow. If you're giving your offering in this morning service, why don't you just lift that envelope up to the Lord and let's invite the Father's blessing together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you so much for your mercies, God. Your word says they are new every morning. We thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches in Jesus the Son. Lord, your word says that the eyes of everyone are looking to you, Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the need of every living thing that you've made. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of sowing into your kingdom. We ask, God, that you would receive the tithe that we're returning to you. Receive our offerings, Lord, our gifts from a grateful people. Would you multiply what we're sowing today for the spread of your kingdom? Father, we ask that you would continue to prosper your people through the week ahead in spirit, soul, and body. Let us continue to see your faithfulness as we walk with you and you walk with us every day. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you as you give this morning.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I think somebody back at the sound room is mad at me this morning, so. I'm glad to see you. We're glad to be home from vacation. Glad to be back with you this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the letter of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about how to have money without money having you. How to have money without money having you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. While you find your way there, Wednesday evening, September 14th, our Wednesday night programs are starting back. And I'm going to be doing a new class called HT Basics. This just looks at the foundational things that we believe as followers of Jesus. What do we believe about God? What do we believe about the Bible, the Word of God, about our Savior Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit and church and prayer? And so maybe you've never had a class like that. We'd love for you to join us. Maybe you have had some material like that, but how many of you know sometimes it's good just to get refreshed a little bit and reminded of the basic things that we believe and perhaps some new ways to share our faith with others. So we'd love to see you. If you'd love to spend a little bit of time together in a more intimate setting, we'd love to see you that Wednesday evening, September 14th. All right, 1 Timothy 6. Going to start in verse 1. Paul says, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they're fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and devoted to the welfare of their slaves. These things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and doesn't agree with the healthy instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth, who think godliness is a means for financial gain. Look at verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, let's be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Jump down to verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How many of you know those are good words right there? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let's talk about how to have money without money having you. So, a man who had done very well for himself in life found out that he didn't have much longer to live. So he called together his doctor, his pastor, and his lawyer for a meeting, all friends of his. He began, "Each of you is duty-bound by your friendship and duty bound by the oaths that you have taken to confidentiality and fidelity. They say you can't take it with you, but I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm liquidating all of my holdings and I'm dividing an equal share among each of you in cash. When I pass, I want you to put your share in my coffin before it's sealed and buried, and I'm going to take it all with me." It was an eccentric request, but the three men agreed to their friend's wishes. A while later, he did pass, and sure enough, the three friends showed up at the funeral, each with a briefcase. After all the guests filtered out, each man placed his briefcase inside the casket, and it was sealed shut. Dutifully, they escorted it to the cemetery, where it was lowered into the ground and covered. And then they went out for a drink together in honor of their friend. After a couple of rounds, the pastor's conscience got the better of him, and he spoke up. He said, "Since all of our communication is privileged six different ways, I have to get something off my chest. The church needed money for a new roof and for renovations and repairs, so I kept $2 million of the money, and I put the rest in the coffin." But he said, "It wasn't for me, it was for the church." Convicted by the pastor's honesty, the doctor's face turned bright red. He sheepishly said, "I too have a confession to make. We needed funds to complete the walk-in clinic, so I kept $5 million of the money and I put the rest into the coffin." But he said, "Think of all the people that will be helped by the clinic. Lives will even be saved, and that's a good tribute to our friend." The lawyer took off his glasses and looked hard at both men. They both looked down at the floor in embarrassment. He said, "Gentlemen, I am appalled and deeply disappointed with you both. What were you thinking? I wrote a check for my full $20 million and put it in the casket." Job said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave it." So let's talk for a few minutes about having money without money having you. But first, actually, you know, I haven't preached in a month, so I got two sermons for you today, all right? You're going to be all right? I got two sermons. So first, Paul talks about slaves, and I don't want to pass by these verses without saying a word about his instructions to slaves here. One of the biggest contemporary criticisms of the Bible is that they say the Bible is anti-women and pro-slavery. How many of you have ever heard those criticisms about the scripture? I want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. As Jesus said to the cynical Sadducees, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Don't have time to retrace everything that we've learned about women in 1 Timothy, but let me just summarize these points that we've already shared. First of all, very clearly, women held leadership positions in Paul's churches. Especially, women are ascribed to every one of the five ministry offices that Paul discusses in Ephesians chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, women leaders in the church are called to meet the same criteria, the same qualifications as male leaders. And then in response to some very unique challenges in the city of Ephesus, Paul gave some temporary site-specific instructions that the women should take a step back and learn before assuming leadership roles, especially teaching roles. Paul's solution to an education deficit among the women was not to exclude them from leadership, but to empower them through learning. I want to say to you that neither Judaism nor biblical Christianity are anti-women. Christianity has done more for the dignity and the equality and the advancement of women than anything else in human history, and that is the truth. The egalitarian values of Western culture are formed entirely from the Judeo-Christian tradition. You should know. Now let's talk about slavery. People say, "Well, why doesn't Paul condemn slavery as evil and wrong? Why does Paul tell Christian slaves to keep their heads down and be subservient to their masters?" You know, Paul acknowledges that the evil of slavery exists in the world. It has always existed. It still exists today. Paul doesn't condone slavery, nor does the rest of the Bible, but Paul gives really helpful advice, guidance to Christians who found themselves in that situation. First and foremost, Paul tells them, by the way, there's an outline in your program, and you can fill in the blanks if you like. First and foremost, the advice that Paul gives the slaves, he tells them, devote yourself entirely to the mission of sharing Christ with your master. Joseph was a slave whose godly conduct and wise behavior and prayerfulness persuaded the Pharaoh of Egypt to confess that the God of Israel is God. Daniel and his three friends were slaves in Babylon whose integrity and diligence and prayer life persuaded Nebuchadnezzar that the God of Daniel is God. The Syrian general Naaman had a little Jewish slave girl in his house whose loving concern for his health and well-being led him into a healing encounter and faith in the God of Elisha. Somebody listen, Christians aren't bitter, Christians aren't resentful, they're not disrespectful, they're not victims. Christians don't wallow in self-pity, they're not vengeful. They devote themselves to the mission of sharing Christ wherever and in whatever circumstances they find themselves. Somebody listen, this is good right here. Our circumstances are secondary, His mission is primary. The goal isn't to revolt. The goal is to reconcile the masters to God who wants all men to be saved and come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Paul's second piece of advice to slaves is stay alive. For your own sake and for the sake of the mission, stay alive. In major Roman cities, about a third to a half of the population were slaves. Almost every Roman household had at least one or two slaves. These were from the conquests of the Roman Empire taking over the world. They would bring people back as prisoners of war, as slaves. Only the very poor did not have slaves. In fact, this is true. Even slaves owned other slaves. Roman slavery was very different than the brutal and racially driven slavery of the American South of our past. Nevertheless, the thing that the Romans feared the most was a slave uprising. So while living and working conditions were very favorable for slaves, one sure way to die quickly and very badly was to steal or to revolt or to run away. A story is told of a household in Rome where a slave stole from his master and ran away. And in reprisal, as an example to all the other slaves in the city, 60 slaves from that household were publicly crucified in the streets of Rome as a warning, don't try it. So for the sake of the mission in the world, Paul says, stay alive and let the church and the gospel not be seen as something that is fomenting uprising. And then Paul's final piece of advice was gain your freedom if you can. Most Roman slaves were eventually freed. In fact, half of them were freed by the age of 30 and went on and lived the rest of their life. Once you were a slave, if you were freed, you instantly became a Roman citizen. Augustus Caesar actually put legislation in place to slow down the rate at which slaves gained their freedom. And many of the slaves remained in their home, their master's homes voluntarily because of the financial security that it afforded them. So listen, if anyone tells you that the Bible is anti-women or pro-slavery, you now know how to answer them. Ye do err. No, don't tell them that. But it is very fun to say. But you can tell them absolutely not. The Bible is pro-women and the Bible is pro-freedom and liberty. All right, that was sermon number one. You doing okay? That was all right, sermon number one? All right, I missed you, Frank. I'm glad to see you. All right, sermon number two. Let's talk about money. So Ephesus was one of the wealthiest cities in the ancient world. And there was a lot of economic diversity in the Ephesian church, just as there is here at HTC. There were people with large homes and many slaves. There were women who liked to dress up in the very expensive fashions of the Roman royal court. Paul said, yeah, don't do that. And all the way in the church, all the way at the other end of the spectrum, there were many slaves in the church. And it may be that some of the slaves were actually elders. Ephesians 6:1 is a continuation of chapter 5, which talks extensively about elders. And some commentators wonder if the words "all those under the yoke of slavery" actually mean all those elders under the yoke of slavery. Imagine how awkward that would be. You come to church, and at church, you are a spiritual authority figure over me, and then we go home and you do my laundry. Only in Christ could such a situation exist in the world. Imagine how uncomfortable when Timothy read this letter out loud in front of the whole church, and there are slaves and there are their masters in the same church gathering, and perhaps some of those slaves are even authority figures in the church. You know, the subject of money can make us feel uncomfortable as well. Here's what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that moneyed people are the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I want to be very clear today. If you happen to have some money, you are not on the hot seat today, at least not more than all of us. And if you don't have money, I want you to know you're not off the hook. Here's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to have money without money having us. See, you can have money, you can even have a lot of money without money having you, or you can have little money or no money, and yet money still has you. Somebody listen to me, it's not about what's in your wallet, it's about what's in your heart. That's good preaching right there. Looking at Paul's words, I want to share a few thoughts with you. This is sermon number two, about how to have money without money having you. First of all, I like this. Trust the provider and not the provisions themselves. Trust the provider and not the provisions themselves. Verse 17 of chapter 6, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Rather, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for us to enjoy. You know, when we're first starting out in life, it's easy to look to God for help because he's all we've got. But as time goes by and we begin to realize a return from our hard work and our diligence, our focus can shift from the provider to our pile of wealth. We can forget to be grateful to God. We can forget to be thankful to him. Most of all, we can forget to rely on him. We can have a false sense of security, or a misplaced sense of security, or even of pride and accomplishment. The Bible says there is one thing certain about money. It is very uncertain. Some assets lose their value, and some assets we lose along the way. Anybody look at your 401k statement from the last quarter? Don't do it. It'll take your joy away. Wait till after Labor Day. King Solomon said, don't wear yourself out to get rich. cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they surely sprout wings and fly away into the sky. Money talks, and mine says goodbye. Jesus said about treasures on earth, moths and rust corrupt them, and thieves break in and steal them. Jesus said that money has us when we're constantly anxious about it. When we're constantly anxious about getting more, about holding on to what we have, about having enough to last us. Money has us when it's constantly on our minds, if we're constantly worried about it. Jesus said the alternative is simple trust in God, our gracious provider. He richly provides us with everything. Can I tell you, it's God who provides us with opportunities to earn money. He provides us with strategic connections and with open doors. He somehow arranges for us to be in the right place at the right time to meet the right people and find the right opportunity. He provides us with intelligence, with ability, with creativity, with strength, with energy, with guidance, with wisdom, with discipline to grow our wealth. And along the way, he heaps some serendipitous blessings on us because that's just the kind of God he is. Moses said, you might say to yourself, my cleverness and hard work has produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the ability to get wealth. Moses thanks you. When I was younger, I thought that faith would get easier as the years go by. But I've discovered that it actually gets a little bit harder. See, when we're young, we have nothing to lose, and we have a whole lifetime ahead of us to make our mark in the world. But as the shadows begin to lengthen and our strength begins to diminish, we actually have to dig in and trust that the same God who has provided for us across all these years will see us all the way through to the end, and he will. As the window for us to get money in life begins to close, we have to fight that much harder for money not to have us by leaning into Jesus all the way to the finish line. Listen. You know, you've lived enough of life that you know money comes and money goes, but Jesus doesn't. He remains with us forever. How to have money without money having you. A few thoughts. Trust the provider. Here's another thought. I like this. Pursue Christ and Christ's likeness, especially the fruit of love and gentleness. Listen, this is kind of amazing, but it turns out that all the kerfuffle, all the trouble in the Ephesian church, the tremendous effort put forth by St. Paul and Timothy to bring about a course correction in this church, all of it was on account of greed. Some leaders in the church decided they didn't want to be non-profit prophets. They turned the ministry of the gospel into a for-profit enterprise. In the ancient world, itinerant philosophers earned big bucks for speaking engagements. They were supported by wealthy patrons. Paul actually fought off those accusations. And some leaders in the Ephesian church decided they wanted in on that action. They wanted to profit from it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul says that elders whose ministry is teaching and preaching deserve to be supported by the giving of the church. He says, in fact, that elders that lead well deserve a double portion. But here in chapter 6, Paul warns Timothy not to fall into the trap of the greed of the false teachers. Instead, Paul tells Timothy, pursue Christ, pursue righteousness. The way, somebody listen, the way to avoid money having you is to make Christ your first priority and your earnest pursuit. That's good right there. I know it's good because Jesus said it first. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you wear. The pagans frantically chase after those things, but you seek first the kingship of God and his righteousness, and God will give you everything else you need. Beloved, listen to me. The more you pursue Christ, the more of him that you have, the more that he has you, the less money will have you. Two Christ-like qualities I'd point out to you in this list Paul gives in verse 11 are love and gentleness. I point these out because they are the precise antithesis of the conceitedness and arrogance of people who are had by money. When we pursue Christ, we're not entitled, we're empathetic to others. We're not superior, but we serve others like Jesus did. How to have money without money having you? A few thoughts. You doing all right this morning? It's Labor Day weekend. I can go a little long today because you have a whole weekend off. See, isn't that good? Trust the provider. Pursue Christ-likeness. Here's another thought. I like this. Learn the profit of contentment. Learn the profit of contentment. In contrast to the greed of the false teachers, Paul says to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great profit. Those who long to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction and impale themselves with many griefs. The great irony of our day is that most people frantically pursue after wealth in the name of contentment. But the harder we push, the more contentment eludes us. It's like the goalposts just keep moving. Jesus called riches deceitful. The reason being, they hold forth the empty illusion of satisfaction. But the Bible says there's one thing certain about money. It's never enough. King Solomon wrote, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless is that? At the height of his wealth, somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, I guess if you compared his wealth with Bill Gates or with Zuckerberg today, I guess Rockefeller, if it was a dollar for dollar comparison, he would blow them all out of the water. And somebody asked him at the height of his wealth, how much money is enough? And he replied, just a little bit more. The way to escape being had by money is through discovering the inner contentment that Jesus brings. Paul wrote to the Philippians under house arrest in Rome, and he wrote to them, I have learned the secret of contentment. It's Christ. It's his presence with me. Whether I'm flourishing or whether I'm floundering, whether I'm flush with cash or whether I'm flat broke, the secret to contentment is his inner strength, his inner confidence, his inner peace, his inner security, his inner satisfaction. In whatever circumstances I find myself, I can say through Christ, I got this. Another key to contentment is thankfulness. I like this. Jesus bowed his head and he thanked God for 5 pieces of pita bread and 2 little sardines. And when Jesus gave thanks, what was formerly not enough became more than enough to feed a crowd of 15 or 20,000 people or more. Beloved, listen, somebody hear me. When you give thanks, God has a way of taking what is not enough and turning it into more than enough for the need. Another key to contentment is enjoyment. Paul says God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Listen, listen, this is so important. Paul doesn't tell us to divest ourselves of all of our wealth. He says God gave it to you to enjoy it. The antidote to materialism is not asceticism, it's consecration to Christ. That's a good line right there, by the way. I want to tell you, Denise and I, our life isn't perfect. Our house isn't perfect. Our cars aren't perfect. Lord knows my dog isn't perfect. But can I tell you, we enjoy them anyway. We've actually purchased only a little bit of the furniture that's in our house. We were newly married when we came here to HTC, and we had nothing, and people started giving us their old junk. And over 25 years, we've just kept trading the junk we have for better junk that people offer us. But I truly enjoy the story behind each piece of furniture in our house and the memory of the people that gave us those things. Yeah, our style is shabby chic, emphasis on shabby. My high school dream car was a red Porsche 911, you know, one from the 80s, and I liked the whale tail. I only ever made it to a VW Beetle convertible. I call it my baby Porsche. It's 7 years old. It has some battle scars from my kids. Right now, the passenger seat has a stain from a huge glop of smoothie that one of my daughters spilled there, and I can't get them to fess up which one it was. I say, listen, just promise Daddy when I'm on my deathbed, just promise you'll tell me. I won't be mad. I just don't send me home to Jesus in curiosity. Just tell me before I go, who put the dent? Who put the ding? Who put the smoothie on my seat? But I tell you the truth, when I drive through the back roads of Greenwich with my top down, I couldn't enjoy the ride anymore if I was in a Ferrari. I have to make a confession to you. I enjoy our bed so much that sometimes I do. I get in bed at night and I'm like, Lord, I must be sinning. I enjoy my bed so much. It's so comfortable. I give thanks for my bed. And I think about my pastor friends around the world. I've been in their homes. I've stayed in their homes. I've ate with them. I've slept in their homes. Took one trip to Nepal. I literally slept on a piece of plywood with a sheet over it. And then I got up in the morning and took a cold shower with brown water before going out to minister for 12 hours straight in tropical heat. I get in my bed and I just pray for my friends, and I give thanks to God for what I've had. Be thankful for what you have. Be joyful. Whether little or much, find the beauty around you and thank God for it. I drink my coffee in a chair in my living room, and the sunlight comes filtering down through the maple leaves outside my window, and I couldn't enjoy that moment and the beauty of that moment and the serenity of that moment and communing with God. I couldn't enjoy it anymore if I was looking out the window of a mansion. How to have money without money having you. Few thoughts. Trust the provider. Pursue Christ-likeness. Learn contentment. I went a little long on that point. I'm sorry. Here's another thought. We're on the home stretch. This is good. Practice generosity. Practice generosity. Verse 18. Command those who are rich in this present world to do good. Specifically by that, I mean be rich in good deeds. Specifically by that, I mean be generous and willing to share. Beloved, listen to me, please. The greater means that God has given us for doing good, the greater obligation before God to do it. If God has entrusted us with more, he expects us to give more. Jesus simply said, give to everyone who asks you, and don't turn away. King Solomon said, don't withhold good from those to whom it is due if it's in your power to act. Don't say to your neighbor, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you then, when you have it with you right now. I want to tell you, once you start practicing generosity, it is every bit as addictive as greed in the opposite direction. I have a wonderful friend in San Fernando, Trinidad, Bishop Chankar Singh. He pastors one of the largest churches in the nation of Trinidad, a beautiful spirit-filled church. A few years ago, I invited him to come preach for our missions weekend. Bishop doesn't travel very often anymore, but when he heard it was a missions weekend, he couldn't say no. As a young boy, he was saved from Hinduism by the preaching of American missionaries. His whole family was saved in that crusade. His wife, who was a little girl at the time, she was saved. Her family was saved in that same crusade. And so my friend Bishop, he feels a great debt of gratitude to the American church and the American missionaries. While he was here in the old sanctuary, he felt the Lord tell him to match our missions giving for a year, $250,000. He went home to Trinidad, and for the next 2 years, he started sending us $10,000 a month to distribute for missions. I have to tell you the truth. It was the most fun I have ever had in ministry, giving that money away to worthy ministers and worthy ministries. One of my classmates from Bible college 1,000 years ago started a rescue center called Harmony House. Henry has rescued hundreds of people off the streets of New Hampshire, and he's helped them get free from addiction through the saving, delivering power of Jesus. This is Henry here in this picture. You might be able to make out behind him, there's a couple wagons. He collects coats and hats and gloves and scarves, and he goes and he ministers to the homeless on the streets. Because of the generosity of Bishop Chankar Singh, we were able to help Henry secure a new location for Harmony House. A couple with a young family had just moved to New Jersey. They left a very secure ministry situation to go start a new ministry in North New Jersey. And as soon as they arrived, their minivan gave up the ghost. On a Friday night, the young husband and dad was calling out to the Lord in prayer. He said, "Lord, did we make a mistake? Did we mishear you? What have we done?" And the Lord spoke to him gently and said, "Just watch what I'll do." About that same time, we were having a service in the old sanctuary on a Friday evening, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Text this couple and tell them you're going to send them this amount of money." It's exactly what they needed to purchase a new minivan. Their names are Ryan and Sarah Delling. On Saturday, September 17th, for 12 hours, they are setting up a worship tent in the middle of Times Square. And from 10 in the morning till 10 at night on Saturday, the 17th of September, they're going to be praying, interceding, and worshiping in the middle of Times Square. I want to tell you why that's significant. A week later on Sunday night, Sean Foyt is going to be there for a Let Us Worship event in Times Square. How many of you know Times Square needs Jesus? I think maybe we should go down and worship with them a little bit on Saturday the 17th and on the following Sunday night a week later. With that money that Bishop Chankar Singh sent us, we helped churches in other countries finish buildings. We helped young ministers start their education. We helped rescue young girls from sex trafficking. And I want you to know that we're still doing all of those things as much as we can. Jesus was exactly right when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I want to tell you, once you start giving, you can't give enough. How to have money without money having you. Few thoughts. Trust the provider, not the provisions. Pursue Christ-likeness. Learn contentment. Practice generosity. Last thing, worship team, come help me if you would. Finally, this. Live here with an eternal perspective. Live here with an eternal perspective. Paul said, We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But through our giving, we lay up treasure in heaven. Beloved, somebody hear me today. For believers in Jesus, greed is completely illogical. Materialism is completely illogical. It doesn't make any sense. We're just passing through, and we can't take anything with us to our next destination. Going back to John D. Rockefeller, the man who said, "I need just a little bit more." When he finally passed away, somebody asked the executor of his estate, "How much did he leave behind?" And the executor replied, "All of it." King Solomon said he takes nothing with him from his labor that he can carry in his hands to the next life. Let me finish with this, and we're done. We're done. We're going to receive communion as our final act of worship. Some of you might remember our friends Ben and Greta Gentile. Ben and Greta were with us for over a decade at Harvest Time, and now they live in the suburbs of Dallas. I have no words to describe the personal blessing that Ben and Greta have been to our family in the last 18 months when we needed some help in the Dallas area. They were a refuge for us. Ben and Greta are the kind of hosts that cannot do enough for you as their guest. When you're staying with Ben and Greta, they can't feed you enough. They can't fuss over you enough. In fact, you're staying with them and they say, we're going to make dinner. They make five dinners because they're not sure what it is that you'd like to enjoy as their guest. It's obscene, the amount of food. When they send you out the door, they can't send you out the door with enough. Do you need a coat? Do you need a bag? Do you need this? Whatever it is. 2 weeks ago, we were dropping off our daughter Lauren in Abilene. We stayed with Ben and Greta. And we had to catch an early morning flight home from Dallas. And on the way out the door, Ben is pushing bottles of water on us. Take a bottle of water. Take a bottle of water for each of you. Take two bottles of water for each of you. One for now and one for later. So I'm grabbing bottles of water. And Denise kept saying to me, "Honey, we can't take those through security." So now I'm drinking water on the car ride to Dallas Airport, on the shuttle from the rental car depot back to the terminal. I'm drinking water at the check-in counter. I'm drinking water. By the time I reached the TSA line, my eyeballs were floating. Please, Jesus, let this line go fast. I'm about to turn 56. I'm turning 56 this week. Please, Jesus, I can't. Let this line go fast, because I drank a lot of water. And sure enough, the TSA agent said to me, I had a bottle of water. He said, "Get rid of the water. It can't go through security." Beloved, somebody hear me today. No matter how good your intentions may be, your bottle of water will not go through security when you pass to the other side. You see this? This is your house. It will not go through security at heaven's gate. This is your garden. This is your car. This is your collection of doodads and whatnots and rare finds. This is your library. This is your wine cellar. This is your jewelry. Guys, forgive me, if you're into fancy watches, God bless you. I wear cheap watches, I really do. I wear cheap watches, I break them, I buy another cheap watch. This is your wardrobe. Be grateful for them. Enjoy them truly. I mean it, truly. Enjoy them. God has given us these things to enjoy. But know this, none of it will make it through security. Only what you've checked in ahead of time. Only what you've given to the Lord, to His servants, to the work of his kingdom, to those in need. Only what you have checked in ahead of time is what will meet you at your final destination. May God help us to have money without money having us. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Let's give him a great big praise today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you sing it with us?
Ushers are doing that. You didn't get a serving of communion. Lift up your hand. The ushers will find you. Come on, sing that next verse. For my part, this I see. Come on, sing it.
For my part.
Church in Corinth, I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you so loved us, that you gave Jesus your only son. Thank you that his body was broken so that we might be made whole in every way. Thank you, Lord, that his body was broken so that we who were not a people could now become the body of Christ, the family of God. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. And Lord, not only do you remove our guilt, but you cleanse us deep inside from unrighteousness. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit always with us, Lord, strengthening us and making us satisfied in Christ, content in him and strong in him. Father, we receive this communion with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, if your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? Let's receive communion together, receive the bread, and after you receive the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. After the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, would you just take one moment and give him thanks? Would you just worship him for just a moment? We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and refresh your people. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd refresh us, renew us in the spirit of our mind, renew us in our innermost being, refresh us in our thinking, Lord, refresh us in our emotions, refresh us in our vision, Lord, refresh us in our physical bodies, Lord, as seasons turn, Lord, as summer fades and as a new season begins, I pray that you would just fill our hearts with fresh anticipation for everything good that you have for us, for your good purposes, your good plans, Lord, and for the wonderful ways that you want to use us. Bless your people, Lord. I pray that you'd watch over us until we come together again rejoicing. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. We're going to sing one more time. After we've sung, you can be dismissed. There's coffee and donuts downstairs. And we pray you have a great Labor Day. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you. God be with you.
Jesus.